All right, are we all ready? 8:30 on Friday? Yeah. Apparently I did something wrong to get this session time to somebody. Anyway, that's cool. Good crowd. Actually, very decent crowd for, like I say, first session on the last day, but in any event, we record and all that for anybody. So, quick question. Who is in our Visio Manage and Pack session on Wednesday? Okay, so most people. So to give a quick, just very quick intro, so you know what to expect, we're going to basically give an overview of all the tools. We'll talk about the Visio one a little bit. I'll do a quick demo with it, just to really put it in the context of all the other tools. We'll spend most of the time, though, Baleson will, on the Visual Studio one. So obviously, if you missed that session, it's recorded, and we go into full gory detail on the Visio pack. So anyway, for intro, my name is Brian Wren. I am a principal knowledge engineer with the Information Experience team. We're the ones that do all the documentation for all of the System Center products, and my personal expertise for the last several years has been Manage Pack authoring. Then I have Baleson Duquet with me, Baleson's the program manager for the authoring tools. So basically, he's responsible for delivering them. I'm responsible for making sure you know how to use them. So quick agenda here. And we're going to kind of try to go minimal slides, and we'll give Baleson most of the time with demo, which I think would be the most interesting. But quick introduction. Basically, I want to go through how did we get to where we are, what are the new tools, who are they designed for, and what is the strategy behind all this? Basically, where are we going with the tools for designing management packs? As I mentioned, I'm going to do a pretty quick overview of the Visio tool, Visio Management Pack Designer. Like I say, if you missed the session on Wednesday, I'd say, you know, go back and watch that, and we go much more detail, not only using it, but how to extend it with custom shapes and that sort of thing. And then I'll hand over to Baleson for hopefully the bulk of the session, certainly I think the most interesting part, to go through the new Visual Studio authoring tool, which is very, quite honestly, the tool now that I'm using pretty much on a daily basis. So this is a slide that I've used several times. If you've ever been in any of my authoring sessions over the last few years here, you probably have seen this. But this is essentially our current generation of tools for building management packs, essentially three options, right? And you probably all know these, so I won't spend a lot of time, but to go through it pretty quickly, Operations Console, which is really designed for a user who knows Ops Manager, isn't worrying too much about modeling their application, doing a lot of custom scenarios, but fairly quickly, right in the console, completely dialog box driven, can basically certainly do some decent monitoring, some interesting scenarios. But then we have the Authoring Console, which really has been, and I'm going to expect if you pulled yourself in here at 8:30 on Friday after a full week of MMS, then you're probably chomping at the bit to see the Visual Studio stuff, and you've been spending your life with the Authoring Console the last few years. And really what this was designed for, to be really our primary authoring tool for those building the real management packs, modeling my application, custom scenarios, and the whole bit. Certainly some dialog boxes in that, certainly some wizards to help us, to assist us from getting to too low level. But of course, we also have straight XML. Right, and so some people will do authoring straight up XML, won't even bother with consoles, and certainly if you use the auth console, you're familiar that there really needs to be a little back and forth, that we have to launch the XML on occasion. So that's what we currently have. Here are the challenges, really, that we've seen over the last few years with this tool set. First one is the authoring console looks pretty innocent. You know, when I suggest, I want to build a model for my application, great, go grab the authoring console. Looks very friendly. Looks kind of like the Ops console. But what we find is pretty quickly you have to take on some pretty complex concepts, right? I mean, just to build a model for your application, you have to start understanding things like base classes and hosting containment relationships and discoveries. And when you're building monitoring scenarios, I have to go into things like cookdown and some pretty heavy concepts, as well as a lot of syntax, right? I mean, very often you're going along, hit save, and I forgot a dollar sign somewhere, something like that. So what we found is the learning curve was pretty big, going from Ops Console to Authoring Console. It really would be nicer to hopefully something to smooth that out. And we really don't have any graphical tools to work with, right? We usually start Managing Pack, and if you've been to any of my sessions, I'll have boxes and PowerPoints, and I'll go through whiteboarding sessions, and we really design these things on a graphical basis, right, as we picture these things in our head. But then you move over to the auth console, and now you're completely text-driven. And so we really were looking for a way to try to bring a graphical design element into things. Another big challenge has been we really have not been able to share components. Me personally, right, my responsibility is to teach and provide samples and reusable elements that you can use, but it's very difficult to share that. It's not like I can send something out and you can paste it in using the auth console. And even if I give you XML, it may be in 5 different places that you need to paste things in. So it's really difficult for us to do that. And then finally, we really, when you move to the other end where we have developers and those that are really spending, even internally Microsoft, doing some of the real serious Managing Pack work, we're really lacking a good professional tool. Things like doing source control and collaborating amongst multiple people and just really giving them an experience that they're used to with some of the other development work that they do. If you look at those challenges there, that really, kind of at the top level, I'm dealing more with the IT pro. That's the user who says, look, I know exactly what I want to model. I'm an expert in this environment and in operations, but I'm not investing in developer skills. I really don't have time or the interest in developing in these entirely set of skills in order to do this stuff. When you move over to the lower of the board, like I say, the ones who are looking for the more professional tools, now I'm dealing with the real developer who's sitting there who is used to things like using C# and Visual Studio and getting those really professional features that they're really, really asking for from us. And the challenge really came down to we were really trying to take one tool for both of those users, right? For one tool for everybody. And that's what it came down to that we were hitting some of those challenges. So what we've come up with, first off, targeting the IT pro is the Visio Managing Pack Designer. And the idea here is, as we all saw on Wednesday, I essentially draw my Managing Pack. I have shapes in Visio. I can design much like I'm doing my whiteboarding when we're designing out a model for an application and bringing in different monitoring scenarios. And each of those shapes hold with it the ability to create all of the Managing Pack elements that go along with the particular scenario. And I'll talk to that one a bit more, and as I say, full detail in that other session. And this is primarily targeted at the IT pro. Again, I want to model the app, I want to build some good monitoring, but I really am not going to take the time to go into all this detailed implementation. Targeted at the developer side, we have, which is what we're introducing today, is the Visual Studio authoring extensions. And what this is essentially a snap-in into Visual Studio, which really provides the author with a fully professional environment, right? All of the advantages that Visual Studio brings in. We can now hook into source control. We can provide multiple projects within one solution. So Baleson will go into a lot more detail on that, so I won't go into too many of the other features right now. But while we now have two tools, what's pretty significant is we are still following a single strategy, and this is really the strategy that we decided to go down, which is, first off, let's leverage existing platforms. The authoring console was essentially built from the ground up. If we look, we need a graphical tool. What's the obvious choice there? We have Visio. It's fully embraced by the IT pro community. Very mature, very, very flexible programming model on it. So it's a perfect choice to go build that where we can just focus on the Managing Pack specifics and the graphical elements are taken care of for us. On the Visual Studio side, it's pretty obvious. I need a professional development tool, and I'm at Microsoft. Your answer is Visual Studio. So all of those advantages that Visual Studio get, we basically get for free just by snapping into that. So those are pretty obvious choices. And the big and really a mind shift for those that spend a lot of time doing MP development like I have over the years, and what now in hindsight seems very obvious, is separate the source code from the MP itself, which is pretty much what you do in all development. Right, you have your source code, you do a build, now you have a DLL or whatever it is, and you never go down to the DLL and start modifying that. yet that's what we do with managed impacts, right? And so basically, we are bound to the auth console, the XML. We are bound to a single file with specific XML, and that really limited our flexibility in what we could do. Start with a Visio file, draw that out, really am not confined to any of the specifics of the MP structure. I do a build and I generate my MP. On the Visual Studio side, as Belson's going to show, I have the ability to really break that up the elements of the manager pack, organize it how it makes sense to me. We can now do some wizards, really with some more flexibility, right? And then when we have all of the elements, we can then generate the final product from that. So it really is a pretty significant move to shift away from that. And the last real point that we wanted to make sure of is let's do a better job of enabling the community to help us extend this, and so we can collaborate amongst each other. I showed in the Visio session how we can actually build custom shapes. And so I've been talking to people. I'm going to be creating some shapes here and there. I've been talking to other people who are interested in doing that, to basically help extend the product, where we'll provide some things, and we're looking for some assistance in doing that, and together we can all help to progress the tool. On the Visual Studio side, I now have the ability to provide a manager pack elements. I can take an interesting little scenario, I can put that out available, and it's actually fairly easy to snap that into your project. So this is really going to provide really one of the big pushes that we want to make over the coming months is to do a much better job collaborating with the community and really start to get more dynamic about the assistance we're giving you. So to go quickly into the Visio Designer, and I didn't want to do total just review same slides as you saw Wednesday. So I want just a little bit of a different take on it. Certainly if you've done some authoring over the last few years, then this will be relevant to you. But so the idea with the Visio management pack is I basically draw my management pack. So right here I have represented about the simplest one you could do. I have a single server role and a single performance counter. Right? When I click create management pack, essentially what's going to happen, first we hit the server role. It's going to create two classes, local application, application component. This is basically, and I won't go into a lot of why these are, but this is a basic design strategy that we have where we create a seed class to say the application's here, and then we go about creating classes underneath that we're actually going to start monitoring. So I have two classes and a hosting relationship. It'll build us a discovery for each of those. Right? Then it's going to come up to my performance monitor. It's going to build me a monitor type and a monitor. If you've ever built a monitor type, you know how much clicking that can be, right? Just really adding all these different elements into it. If I tell it I also want to do some collection, it's going to create a rule for me. Apply those to the new class that's being monitored. In addition to that, it's going to give me a view for each one. I'm going to get a state view that shows me the state of the new classes that I'm discovering. It's going to give me an alert view for any alerts generated by those classes. It's going to give me a performance view. And I'm not even showing up there. I have the ability to create a report based on all this. To create all that there, and I think I have created all that there in previous sessions here at the conference, 20, 30 minutes at the least, and I'm pretty quick at this stuff, right? I mean, you're probably talking about an hour. I'm going to build that one now just to do a quick intro to it. 30 seconds, I think. So really the idea, though, is simple shapes that generate all these other elements that we used to have to build manually. So let me just walk through that one fairly quickly, and hopefully I can remember which one. That's not mine. There we go. So what I have here is just simple management pack. I've given it the name just MMS demo. I will bring a server role into that, and I will bring a perf. I won't talk through too many of the features again. Baleson went through this in quite a bit of detail. So I'm just going to leave the defaults on the server role. It defaults to a registry key. I'm not going to actually run this, so I'm not concerned that I haven't given it a valid key there. Oops. Yeah, I'll keep that there. We can see it. And by the way, you should never say oops when you do a demo. All I did, if you're one, I just kind of attached that. I wasn't planning on attaching the window there. I'm just going to give it some quick elements here, right? Let's monitor processor. And if I make a typo, it really won't make too much difference. So what is it, percent processor time? Okay, and I'll say, yes, I'd like all instances. I'd like to alert and collect which means I'm going to have monitor and a collection rule. Let's give it a critical threshold of 90. And we'll save to data warehouse. Yes, I won't bother with the alert settings here, although obviously, well, I'll go ahead and say yes. Well, there's really not a lot of configuration for it. And we'll go ahead and create a report. Right, I mean, this basically, and you can imagine, if you've done authoring over the years, you can imagine all of the different elements that are going in just into these settings that I'm doing, where basically I can hand this to a pretty basic user, right? There's not a whole lot of explanation required for what these settings are going to perform. I do a generate management pack, and I don't have all my properties, so it probably has to do with the alert set. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't give a report name. Perf report. And I'm still missing some. I'm missing a shape. No big deal. All I'm going to do is generate the management pack, and it's going to give me a place to save it. And then I have planned on opening up. See, good demo person, I already had it open. All right, so that way I don't have to fumble up here. But really, all I wanted to show is right, when that simple MP there, all I have to do, drag him in a minute or so in doing my configuration. I have a management pack. Here I am in the authoring console. I have my two classes. If I come down into here into monitor, here's my monitor with the configuration that I gave it, right? And if we go in, we can see all of this different that I, for those that, to zoom into that, right? And there are the elements that I gave it there, or the configuration that I gave it. I've got a monitor type that was built for me, right? And obviously, for those who've gone through and configured a monitor type, I mean, here I've got a monitor type containing four different modules in it. These are doing multiple collection. I want to see the perf counter three times before we send an alert, right? These are things that will take you a while in the auth console to sit there and click and get everything correct. So, again, I'm not too worried about going through full demo. We did that on Wednesday, but this is really the point, is that the shape represents all these elements that we can now basically designed at that higher level and get a very viable manage pack on the back end. I mean, the other great thing about it is users not worrying about, am I building this according to best practice? Am I going to do something that's going to hurt the system? Which you can definitely do with some bad management pack work. We basically can force best practice when we do the Visio, when we do the custom shapes. So anyway, that's quick overview on the Visio Designer. I think most people have probably seen it, so I didn't want to just bore you doing the same things. And if not, we have the full Wednesday session that you can go back and refer to. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Baleson, who's going to cover the Visual Studio tool.
All right. Thank you so much, Cool. Everyone, for coming. Thank you, Brian. It's Friday, 8:30 in the morning. As Brian mentioned, we've got these two new tools, and they are version one of each of these new tools. As we go down on this new strategy, the R2 authoring console was a mature set of authoring tools. But like Brian said, we tried to create this one tool to rule them all. Didn't work out for us. You know, we expected IT pros to have to learn this really complex stuff. And then the MP developers were hindered by it because it didn't plug into the overall lifecycle of both developing an application and the management pack to monitor that application. So we've got these two new tools. They are V1, so there are some gaps in them. And I'll go through a couple areas in the Visual Studio where we do have some gaps, but also where we actually fulfill a lot of new scenarios as well. So couple things about the IT Pro authoring extensions. You know, we've got IT developers and IT pros who need to create rich monitoring or deep customizations to their management packs. And in the Visio Designer, we're covering like 80% of the main scenarios that we've seen our customers create over time. But of course, there's always like these custom scenarios, these deep monitoring requirements. Like Brian mentioned, when you need to create your own monitor type, that's a place where you're going to be doing that in the Visual Studio authoring extensions. Because we're extending Visio, all of the richness within Visual Studio is we've extended as well. So all of the MP verify errors you'll see in the Visual Studio error list, it's integrated into the Visual Studio Solution Explorer. As part of that, you can actually automate your build system of your MPs. You know, many companies who develop their own applications, you've got daily builds, you run it through MS Build, and you can automate the build of your application, and now also building of the management pack along with your application, because we actually live in Visual Studio. Brian mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, the other things that attach to Visual Studio, like source control, those are just native to Visual Studio, and now you can kind of leverage that. But we've gone a little bit a step further, and I'm going to walk through the demo a little bit more and talk through some of those really, really deep areas, which include breaking up your management packs into separate, what we call MP fragments, which help kind of the organization aspect. For this slide here, there's some areas, you know, again, we mentioned that this the tools are V1s. So we don't have the graphical creation in Visual Studio as we do in Visio. But that doesn't mean you can't start off, even as a developer, in Visio, graphically draw off your management pack, generate the management pack XML, and import it into Visual Studio. Because in Visual Studio, you know, we were targeting the developers. We would have loved to be able to get to graphical class designing in Visual Studio, but we focused on the core basics first, you know, just integrate within Visual Studio. And again, these are V1 of both tools. You know, with the feedback we get from here and from our customers, through the Connect website, connect.microsoft.com, as we get feedback, we'll prioritize the right set of features to continue to evolve these tools over time. So let's go through a couple of basics. I mentioned management pack fragments. This is really key. I was one of the developers on the System Center Operations Manager 2007 management pack itself, the management pack that monitors SCOM. That management pack is 34,000 lines long of XML. That's one XML file that's 34,000 lines long. It became extremely difficult, you know, across multiple developers on our team to edit that management pack look for the areas that you own. You know, you'd put XML comments in the XML saying, this is the monitoring section, this is the reporting section, but it was extremely difficult. With management pack fragments, we allow you to break up the XML into logical areas that you define. So you can have one MPX, that's our new extension for management pack fragments, an MPX file that, say, has your class definition, your discovery, and all the rules and monitors for that class. If you want to structure it so that you have all of your classes in one MPX and all of your monitoring in a different MPX file, you can do that as well. You can also create your own folder structure. But because we are in Visual Studio, all of those MPX files compile down to one management pack, whether it's in .xml or .mp file. So at build time, we're able to merge all of those fragment XML files, which truly supports, you know, the developers, the development lifecycle, where you might have multiple developers, or just for kind of the ease of looking at specific fragments of your XML. The next thing is our templates. Templates, in the Visio MP Designer, we're completely abstracting away for our IT pros, which simplifies experience, away from the XML. There's a lot of things in the XML that's also tedious, even for developers that understand the concepts. You know, we didn't want them to go through all this tedious typing all the time. So we do have a new concept of templates as well that abstract you away from most of the tedious things inside of the XML, and we promote those properties into the Visual Studio property pane. So things like the enabled attribute, the accessibility attribute, and we'll go through the demo. All of those, instead of typing it in the XML editor in Visual Studio, you can now do that in the properties pane in Visual Studio. And lastly, this is my favorite feature. This is absolutely my favorite feature in the Visual Studio, are snippets. Snippets are super powerful for the folks in the room who've been writing XML or have been doing XML development with management packs. You're able to take a piece of XML and tag certain areas that you want replaced with multiple values. A perfect example of this is collection rules. You know, a lot of times our customers have, you know, create multiple collection rules. And the only thing that's differing is, you know, the performance counter name, the performance counter object, yet they don't have copy and paste. So you have to kind of go through the R2 authoring console, one by one, go through the wizard to create your collection rule. Or you drop down to the XML, you copy and paste this section of XML and just replace some values. I'm going to show you how we can do that with snippets and generate a boatload of rules monitors in one go, and you can actually share out this snippet template very, very easily. So the snippet, this is just kind of a screenshot primarily for reference. We'll kind of go through this example. On the left-hand side, we've got a piece of XML. There's actually, what you see highlighted is what you'll see in the editor. The highlighted areas of the XML are areas that you want to replace with kind of replacement variables. On the right-hand side is the snippet itself. You get a grid-based view. For every row in the grid, we'll take the values in that grid and replace them throughout the XML and create new instances of rule, monitor, whatever piece of XML that you need. We'll create a new instance of that XML from that grid. We also support importing this from a CSV file, so it makes it even easier if you want to give to your customers, a simple, quote unquote Excel form, and say, hey, if your internal customer is developing a line of business application, and they know the performance counters, or they might know the Windows events that they want to monitor, you can give them an Excel file. They can fill it in. You can come in here into Visual Studio and generate all of the rules and monitors for that kind of in one go. So let's actually just jump into it. I'm going to go through a few sections of the Visual Studio authoring extensions, and we're going to go through creating a snippet first. I'm going to show off some of the project systems that we have. Oh, sorry about that. Let me unlock. All right. So first thing you'll do in the new Visual Studio authoring extensions, minimum SKU we require is Visual Studio Professional. This does not work on Express Edition primarily because we have features in Visual Studio Professional that we actually extend and leverage. But when you go ahead and create a new project inside of the Visual Studio authoring extensions, you'll notice that we have multiple projects here. The default is the Operations Manager Core Monitoring Management Pack. This is a management pack that, when it gets generated, works both on 2007 R2 as well as 2012. If you're going through and creating a new dashboard or leveraging some of the new features in Operations Manager 2012, you would choose the 2012 add-on management pack, which is a little bit different. And for those in the audience that do any service manager development, we've also got a project that will create and compile a service manager management pack. Depending on the management pack project that you choose, it'll have the right IntelliSense for each of the schemas here. So, for example, if I choose the 2007 Core Monitoring Management Pack, I will not see the elements that only work in Service Manager. So one way is to create a new project. We'll actually go through and import an existing project. Import an existing management pack. What that means is if you already have a .mp or a .xml file, we can go to the File, New Project, and you can choose New Project from Existing Management Pack. This will walk us through a simple wizard that allows us to choose one or more MP or XML files and create a project for you automatically. So let's actually, let me zoom out of there and start this little wizard. I'm going to click Add here, and let me go to my Management Packs folder. And I'm going to actually import the Microsoft.System Center 2007 management pack. This is the management pack that monitors Operations Manager itself. And this is the one that I mentioned. It was like about 35,000 lines long. The first thing we do is detect what kind of MP is it. In this case, it's a 2007 R2 management pack. I'm going to have to browse for some references. If we automatically find some of the references for you, we'll pre-fill the path. But that management pack references these other management packs. So I just have to go find them so that the wizard can provide those references inside of the XML automatically. I've already got it defaulted to my management packs folder, so I'm just choosing those different references right here. And last one there. If I provided a key file, it'll automatically create the management pack to compile down to a .mp versus a .xml. I'm going to leave that blank for now. This means it'll compile down to a .xml file. And because we don't have an existing solution, I'm going to let it create a new solution for us. Let's call this the opsmjrmp. And let's just put this on my desktop. So what it's going through, I want to draw your attention to the right-hand side while the wizard is kind of populating. On the right-hand side, we've created a solution for the management pack itself. We also have this management pack project. It is a .mp proj file. So similar to C# projects and VB projects where you have a CS proj or a VB proj file, you now have a MP proj to kind of snap to the Visual Studio paradigm. That means anything within that project compiles down to one management pack. You'll notice we're also adding all the different references that this management pack was referencing. And the one thing we get for free is this one file that contains all of the XML that we just imported into this MPX. We'll click Finish in the wizard here and just open up our MPX file, which is our management pack fragment. And I'm going to do a couple things here. So what I've done is just collapse down all the XML that's inside of this management pack fragment. We've got the line count here at the bottom. You'll notice there's 35,000 lines in the core monitoring management pack for Operations Manager. It gets pretty unwieldy. I mean, we had a lot of bugs throughout the product where it was literally just errors because of the complexity of this management pack and having multiple developers edit it. So the first thing I want to do, you know, this is a very common thing. We did this on our team. I'm actually working off an older version of it. We've restructured a lot of the management packs within Operations Manager to leverage the new project system. But I'll give you an example of what we did. You know, I would go add new item. I'm going to choose an empty management pack fragment here. And let's call this all my, let's call this the opsmjr monitors.mpx. So this will just be a blank XML fragment. There's nothing in there. And all I'm going to do is come into my 2007, right-click, cut all the monitoring out of there, come into here, and paste. And give it a sec here. So I've moved 22,000 lines of XML to another MPX file. So someone can focus on core monitoring. Someone else can focus on, let's say, reporting or the presentation aspect. Yet all of this compiles down to one MP. So you don't have to worry about how many MPX files. You can create your structure as you wish. It could be a handful of XML files. You can create a new folder. So if we wanted to call this classes and create multiple MPX files for each of the classes, you are in control of how you want to structure the development of your management pack to fit your development team's needs. So that's kind of one quick aspect of it. And these MPX files are just, again, fragments. And one part I'm going to just show here is what it's like to, you know, the actual IntelliSense experience. So I'm going to create a new rule. And one thing you'll notice, if my Zoom works for me here, there we go, is depending on the element that you're working off of, we provide IntelliSense for all of the right elements. So the first thing I'm going to do is ID. Let's call this my new rule. And let's set the target here. So with the IntelliSense now, let me move to the right just a little bit. What you'll notice is we're actually giving you the IntelliSense into all of the management packs that you've referenced. And let's say Windows will automatically find all of the classes within that MP. This works for the MPs that are in your references as well as classes that you've defined yourself. So if you're a core MP developer, you have, you know, the right capabilities to find all of the classes, et cetera, in your MP through the IntelliSense. So that was just kind of part of the rule. Let me close that tag real quick. I know it's not a complete MP. Seems to be a little bit of a lag due to the zooming part, and I apologize for that. But inside of that rule, now you'll notice category, so I can set my category here for that rule. I'm actually going to leave it in that state and leave it a little bit broken, because I want to show you when we do a build solution that, of course, we haven't set all of the proper categories. But now, inside of the error list within Visual Studio, all of those MP verify errors now show up inside of the error list, which is typical for a solution in Visual Studio. If you write your code wrong, you try to compile, you will get errors. And the great part is when you double-click any of these errors, we bring you to that line. So we're going to automatically highlight the line of code and bring you to the area where that error is happening. You can, thank you. You'll also have that same kind of reference here. So we'll reference the line number, the project, and the management pack file where that error is in. Let me quickly show you some of those build properties. So again, extending Visual Studio, when you right-click and choose properties for that management pack, you can set the ID, the version. And while you're building, you can set the what is it called, the SNK file for sealing that as a management pack. But more importantly, when we when we're talking about the application lifecycle, part of writing a management pack, debugging and testing your MP is one of those aspects. So we allow you to create a set of management groups that you want to test against. Whether this is production or your virtual machine, you can add one or more management servers that you would connect to. And when you actually do a deployment of that management pack, you now have some set of actions. So this is hooked up to the F5 part of Visual Studio. You know, normally in a regular development project, when you press F5, you are debugging the project. So it'll compile your application, launch it under the debugger so you can step through that application. Although we're not completely debugging the management pack, we followed a similar pattern. When you press F5, we're going to compile your management pack project to your .xml or .mp, but now you can also start choose an action. So I can say when I hit F5, I want to deploy that management pack to that default management server that was specified here. So in my management group, there's a little button at the bottom that says set as default. I only have one here. So when I click F5, it will build my management pack and automatically deploy it to this specific management server. You can also set it up to automatically start the console on your development machine and remotely connect to that management server. So if you're developing a view or monitor and you want to see it, we automatically kind of have that for you right here inside of the console. Now, we opened up a management pack that had a lot of elements. We saw earlier that was 35,000 lines long. And sometimes getting an overview of what's in that management pack is pretty hard. So we've also built, similar to Visual Studio, that has a class browser to allow you to browse all your classes within Visual Studio itself. We've also included our own kind of browser, a management pack browser. And if we click on it, here are all of my management packs. It's the management pack project that I'm developing here, including all of the referenced management packs. I'm going to filter this list to only show me my management packs. These are management packs I'm developing as part of this solution. And you'll actually notice, the hierarchy here is very similar to the R2 authoring console. So I can quickly find all of my classes that are defined in this management pack. This is the 2007, so it's not actually in here. There's no classes in here. We had it in our class library. But if I go to the health model and look at my monitors, here are all the monitors across all of the MPX files that is inside of that management pack. So it makes it really easy for you to browse and look around. What's in this management pack? Well, you can easily expand the list here of all the different components that are found inside of this management pack. More importantly, as part of the debugging experience, if you're writing a rule or monitor, especially workflows, you can now right-click and I did not install the agent on this box. I apologize. So in the R2 authoring console, if you have the agent installed, we'll actually simulate that workflow for you. Similar to the R2 authoring console, you can go right-click on a rule, monitor, or discovery and say simulate. We've moved all of the ResKit tools into Visual Studio. So I can right-click and launch the MP simulator right here. And I'm going to click on it just to see what happens. I hope it works. I know I don't have the agent installed on this machine. But if I did, when you right-click and choose Simulate, it will... you know what? Our MP doesn't work yet because it is broken, so it can't actually simulate it. But we've built in, you know, into Visual Studio, not just the MP simulator, but if you want to go see the XML definition, you can, you know, go to definition. We will bring you to the area of the management pack. Let me try that one more time here. Yeah, you're totally right. Let's delete that demo rule we created so we get a valid management pack and do a quick build. Go to our management pack browser and go to definition. One second here. Got a lot of errors. No, that's okay. Those are only warnings. Well, we'll kind of try to jump back to that in a moment here. You've got go to definition, and for the management pack itself, when you right-click, we've got all of our favorite tools here, from generating a Visio diagram of all your classes to running spell check, MPBPA, as well as doing performance cookdown analysis. So all of the resource kit tools you had in the R2 authoring console, we've kind of brought over into Visual Studio. I talked about this being a V1 of a tool. You know, there's a lot of functionality here, but this is one area where we could not build into the Visual Studio extensions in this release. You can't do any knowledge editing other than in XML. So if you wanted to do that knowledge editing in Word, in the R2 authoring console, you can edit the knowledge in Word, and it would go back into the MP with the MAML schema. In the Visual Studio authoring extensions, you actually have to write it in the MAML schema itself. You do get IntelliSense, so that helps a little bit, but it gets a bit tedious. So again, that's something we want to build into the tools in the future, but for this version, we just don't have it in this version. Yes, I got a question. Okay, can you repeat the question, Peter? I'm sorry. How does this all install? There's one MSI, and as long as you've got Visual Studio Professional, 2010 Professional or higher, you'll get all of this installed with one MSI. One more question here. The question is, if you find yourself kind of in between where you're not a full developer, but you're much more advanced as an IT pro user, can you go back between both tools? The answer is kind of no. You're in Visio, the source file in Visio is the VSD, the actual diagram itself, and it generates a bunch of XML. So in Visio, you can't open a management pack inside of the VSD in Visio. You draw it in the VSD. The diagram itself, that file, the VSD file, is a source file to generate your MP. You know, contrast that to Visual Studio, the source files are now this MPX files. You know, you can't go from an XML kind of back to the MPX other than the import wizard itself. So there's no real way to kind of go back and forth. And that is another gap that we have in the V1 of these tools, basically. There are gaps on both sides. You know, there's going to be stuff in the Visio that we just haven't been able to do in this V1 that we want to help IT pros get all the functionality and features they need in Visio. And we'll do that over time as we get feedback on what areas you need help with in Visio. For developers, we're going to do the same thing. You know, anything that helps a developer write a management pack at the core platform for Operations Manager and all of System Center, it's going to live inside of Visual Studio. So I've showed you kind of the MPX files. I mentioned my favorite feature, the snippets. Let's kind of go through that, and we'll go through a few more of the templates that you kind of got a preview to. Most of the templates you'll find when you click Add a New Item. When you do Add New Item, you'll notice that we have Management Pack as our core category here, and then we have different kinds of templates within these categories. Code is just the either the fragment or this new concept of a template group. I'm going to get through that kind of as the last piece. Resources are like files on the file system, like bitmaps, images, and scripts. We'll include a few samples kind of a little bit later. Templates are, you know, if we take a look at some of these names, you know, a custom agent task that uses a PowerShell script. We've got a few templates here that you no longer have to write all of the XML. We'll template a set of those XML, and you only have to modify a handful of XML to get this fully featured workflow, task, or monitoring added to the system. And the last one is XML. So for these areas, when we add a new class, a group, a link report, this will generate an MPX file and just drop you in there with the pure XML. There's no UI to these set of XML templates. So let's go through and add a new snippet. You know, I talked about the snippet feature and how it's extremely helpful. You know, this is one of those areas where I wish I had this when we were writing the SCOM MP itself. I'm going to call this template my collection rule. And we actually default it to a collection rule example. So if I click Add and zoom in a little bit here, what you'll notice is we've got some XML and there's some highlighted areas. You can highlight any area and what we call templatize that area. So for example, let's say we wanted to replace this section here and expose it to an end user. And the end user is never exposed to the XML. The end user might not even know what this XML means. But I know that they might want to monitor a performance counter, and they might want to be able to choose whether or not that performance collection rule collects it for all instances or not. So the way I expose that to them, we have these new kind of hashtags where I'm going to choose hash and choice. And the first value is going to be the column name that we put in the grid. So let's frame it like a question. So collect all instances will be the column name. I mean, again, it's just a string, so you can specify whatever you want here. In the list, I want a dropdown that presents the user true or false. Those will be the two choices that I expose to the user. You'll notice that, you know, we use a choice here for collection frequency. And similarly, the other areas, if it's just text, it's something that we expect them to type. So that's my snippet. It's a .snippet template extension that you'll notice here. That itself is just an XML file. Once I've got my snippet template, you know, this is a file, you can send it around, put it on SharePoint, share it with your company. To use that template, I'm going to go add new item and choose templates. And at the bottom, we actually have a snippet. So when you're creating a snippet, let's call these rules. Ooh. Oh. That was a really bad bug. Oh, it is, yeah, Friday in the morning. We'll get for Visual Studio to restart here. When I choose that snippet, I'll be able to browse for that snippet template. Let's open up another instance of Visual Studio while that one's crashing. And let's just do one of the demo management packs that I was already working on while I was practicing this session. So let's go ahead and keep this one simple. We're going to, again, go through and create our quick snippet template. Mm-hmm. Oh, there we go. So add new item. Let's go to templates. Oh, sorry. Code snippet template. I kept the default name. And let's just keep that as is, because we can work through the demo just with that. New item. To use that template, you know, under templates, we have a snippet itself. So here, when I click select snippet type, it's going to show me all of the different snippets that are in my project. So, you know, we've got that default one that we created, so I'm just going to click that and click OK. And you'll notice now that all of the different column names that we supplied in the XML are kind of shown here. And when I click Add New Item, all I'm doing is adding like those strings or those dropdowns. So let's call this my rule ID. Let's call it Memory Collection. Memory percent station perf instance total collection frequency. Let's collect it every 60 seconds. Now, before I actually show that piece, what I'm going to do is, you know, how many folks here have developed any like ASP.NET applications? So when you develop an ASP.NET application, you've got an ASPX file. But you'll notice in Visual Studio, you have a .cs file. That's the backend code for that ASPX file. Again, we followed a similar pattern with the Visual Studio authoring extensions. Backing that snippet, we've got the MPX, the raw XML, for what you see here in the grid. So what I'm going to do is actually open up that MPX file and kind of show it side by side next to that grid. There we go. So that snippet itself doesn't have anything in it right now, that XML file. When you click Save or you build the project, we go ahead and validate whether or not that MP is valid, which it's not because it's not generating any of that XML. Let's double check here. Yeah. And I'm not sure why. Let's do Save one more time. Oh, yeah, okay. I need to reference our performance counter library. Oh, I guess I'll show you another area. So just like assembly references in a Visual Studio project, we now actually allow you to reference MPs just like you would a assembly. So I am missing, you know, the MP verify error was that I was missing the system.performance library management pack. So I'm going to reference that MP, click Add, and we'll add that to my references. And hopefully now when I save, now I'm missing a bunch of management packs. I know this is like the same pain everyone goes through. When they're writing a management pack, like, oh, MP verify error this. Sdev. Management pack. That's why I like the import wizard. It just adds all those references for you kind of the first time around. Data warehouse. I forgot a reference. Exactly. Let's build again, see if we're missing anything. Yeah, we're probably missing something else. Now, data warehouse library. Didn't I just add that System Center data warehouse library? Microsoft System Center data warehouse library. The template instance failed. Microsoft System Center data. Yeah. Let me come back here real quick. Oh, there we go. Okay, so. Side by side, sorry about that, a little snafu there, but you'll notice that we created one rule. We generated all the XML. It's the exact same XML that's inside of our snippet template, except we've replaced those values with what's in the grid. So this whole template, instead of cutting and pasting XML all the time and manually replacing the values here, we've templated the actual XML and made it easy to just generate an instance of that. So here, you know, we've got one rule, as you can see on the right-hand side here in my MPX file. Let's go ahead and add one more here. Let's do CPU. Let's go processor. And I know this is not the real performance counter name, but we'll just keep it there for now. And choose 60. We'll click Save again. And now when we click Save, we've actually got two. So really quick, you know, similarly, you can always create this snippet template. For the folks that understand the XML, but you want to expose to your end users a very simple way to generate all the rules and monitors, you can craft the XML. You can actually give them an Excel spreadsheet, which you can take and create a CSV, because we can import the same grid values from a CSV, and you can come in here and generate all the rules and monitors you need right inside of the Visual Studio extensions. More importantly is, when you come and update this thing, so let's add that one more column. So you'll notice the last column we had here was collection frequency. I can come back into the snippet template, and let's go ahead and change that all instances again. Let's do the choice. This is my all instances. And it's going to be true, false are my two values. I'm going to click save there. When I come back to my MPSD file, which we do need to reopen for it to pick up those changes. You'll notice now that, you know, that all instances column that we just added shows up. And, you know, we'll have to specify a value here. You know, if we set true, true, and again, we're going to click save, it will update and regenerate all of the MPX to, you know, update the all instances attribute. So this is something that makes it really, really simple to abstract away, again, the tediousness of having to do XML all the time and say, if you've got one fragment of XML that you want to reuse very quickly, you can use the snippet template feature. Yep. It's a good question. The question is, can we default some of the values here? The answer is no, not in this release. That was something we thought through. We just didn't have the time to do that in this release. Yes? Absolutely. The question was, how do we build additional workflows? So things that are not trivial to create in the XML, how do we go about doing that? I'll say that the one area that we weren't able to focus on in the Visual Studio extensions was creating composite monitors, composite modules. So you still have to do that in XML. But that leads into the next part of the demo, which is adding these kind of new template groups. So if I go new item, you know, anything with one of these little icons that looks like a template group, let's choose a custom unit monitor. And you'll notice that the extension is MPTG. It's a template group. I'm going to call this just monitoring, because even though you're choosing a monitor as the initial template, you can actually add any type of monitoring to this kind of new monitor. Again, when I added that, I got this new MPTG. You'll notice that similarly, it's grid-based. You know, we're defaulting the ID, the name, and we're showing you the type that you chose inside of the UI. But when I click on that, let me actually float the properties here, you'll notice that a lot of the XML attributes for that monitor type are now exposed through the properties pane inside of Visual Studio. So setting whether it's enabled, setting the target, all of that stuff is now in the properties pane. I'm going to zoom out just a little bit here. Let's look for target. If I click the ellipsis, so you kind of have help in both ways. If you're editing the XML directly, you get IntelliSense on the target attribute, and you'll be able to find all classes. It'll show you the IntelliSense for all the classes. In here, when you choose a template group, we're editing the target attribute, and we're going to give you a class browser. So I can go look for, you know, computer, and let's choose Windows computer here. And now for this new unit monitor, you know, similar to what you're asking about, Paul, we don't have to do all of the XML from scratch. I can choose my monitor type, which finds all of the monitor types defined in the management packs that I've referenced. So I'm going to choose the two single event log, two state unit monitor type. Click OK. And we automatically add that reference. I'm going to set its operational states. The first event, critical. Second event, healthy. And click OK. This is where now you have to do a little bit of XML editing, but it's only localized to just that configuration portion. You know, we couldn't dynamically build UI for all of the different XML configuration pages. It's actually something we are working on. But to configure this monitor, I pop up a new XML editor window. It's the exact same, you know, kind of XML editor that we have in the main part of the console, but it's only going to show me the configuration in IntelliSense for the configuration of that unit monitor. You don't have to deal with the whole XML of that monitor type. So I'm going to choose workflow name, and I know that, let's just give this a bogus name here to get through the verification part. Oh, first event ID, sorry. Workflow name. First event ID, 101. I think it's their second event ID, 111. There we go. So that should give us a complete configuration that we can get past. And, you know, similarly, again, set any of the different properties. If I click save here, let me kind of pop this back down here. Again, this MPTG is also has a code behind. It's the MPX. So if you want to ever see the full XML for that unit monitor, we can open up the MPX file. You'll notice, again, it's blank. And I'm going to hit save. And, oh, parent monitor ID. So we have to go set the parent monitor ID to, let's just choose availability state, and click save. And, you know, automatically all of that MPX file for the whole monitor is generated here. We've got one unit monitor. Now, again, we chose the MPTG, but we can just add a new template here as well. So if I add a new template, again, this template group concept is just a logical grouping that you don't have to worry about the XML. So if I add a new template, I can easily add a custom task, a task that runs a window script. Let's go ahead and actually do that. Let's do agent task window script. And again, the grid gets updated. Now I have two things in there, a script that runs that's a task and a unit monitor. To complete the task template, I'm going to go ahead and add a new script as well so we can show some of the new resource features. Let's go new, resources, JScript, click add. I'm going to come back to my script task, and let's take a look at some of its properties. So targets almost everywhere, so let's again choose Windows computer for my target, and we need to go set our script. You'll notice we've got a browse for Ellipsis, and there's that script that I just added to my system. So instead of editing the script inside of the XML, I can deal and edit that script as a separate file in the file system, and then come in here and choose it as well. We had a question here.
Does Visual Studio have IntelliSense for PowerShell yet?
The question is, does Visual Studio have IntelliSense for PowerShell? The answer is no, but we don't inhibit any other extension. So if you happen to have some of the PrimalScript extensions for PowerShell, and you add a new PowerShell script in the solution, you'll actually get the IntelliSense automatically. And so let's go ahead and save that snippet template. And you'll notice my MPX backend already got updated. And there's my unit monitor. And there is my task. So we've kind of built three areas. I'm going to recap real quick, you know, that one slide. We had MPX files, which is editing the direct XML by itself. We've added these new snippet concepts that allow you to have XML that can be highly reused without copying and pasting and making the XML itself error-prone. You know, you get the XML right once, you can declare which parts of the XML should be replaced through this kind of property grid, and will automatically generate for every line, you know, in that, for every line in the grid, we will generate all of the corresponding XML for you. And the last concept was this template group concept, where you can add multiple types of, let's show the descriptions here as well. You can add multiple templates to your template group, and you only have to deal with the XML for the core parts of that template. You know, everything else in terms of the attributes are now exposed to the Visual Studio property page. Both the snippet and, again, the MPTG, as you've seen, their backing is XML itself. So we generate the MPX file under the cover. So if you ever need to look at it just to understand what it's doing, you can get at it as well. So I know I went really quick because I wanted to go through all the different areas. But again, we've got a lot of templates inside of the Visual Studio authoring extensions themselves. And we weren't able to get through every single template in this one session. We will be going through and kind of documenting each of these areas through our new wiki. I kind of wanted to highlight a couple of partners here, because whenever we think about the whole management pack development lifecycle, it's not just about the tools to author the MPs. It's also about the other tools that fill the different gaps that we have in kind of the lifecycle of editing those MPs. Vicode, one of our partners, has released a new kind of MP tuner set of tools on the MP Wiki site that they have. So if you go to vicode.com, mpwiki.vicode.com, you can download this new MP tuner that allows you to browse, you know, your various management packs and shows you, you know, the override table, the effective overrides that would be in effect for a given workflow, and all the different parameters that are affected kind of by that override. So again, you know, tuning your MP when you're ready to go to production and you have your set of MPs that you've developed within the Visual Studio authoring extensions, now you have these other partner solutions to help you manage the tuning of that MP. And similarly, we've also got Silex Studios, who has this MP report. You know, the MP browser is good for interactive browsing of the MP elements, but sometimes you just need to have this report. The report's extremely useful for kind of a point-in-time reference. If you're automatically building a new MP, you know, with the build system, or you're creating a point-in-time release of your management pack, generating a report through Silex Studio's tools gives you a quick overview and reference of what was in that MP at the time it was built. You know, you can't really kind of go back in time unless you sync back, you know, from your source control system to that point in time and do the MP browser thing. You know, generating a report out of your MP of all the various elements and being able to quickly compare what changed becomes extremely useful when you have multiple MPs and you're versioning those management packs over time. And that's it. I'm going to invite Brian back up and talk about how we're actually going to document these new tools and a new strategy that we have around that area.
Am I on? I'm on.
I mentioned this on Wednesday as well. But basically, we're taking a new strategy as we're putting out the content for all this of how to use the new tools. We're completely going into the TechNet Wiki. And so, in fact, I know a lot of people have probably spoken to our group we have over in the expo talking about the wiki and where we're going with this. But essentially, the old strategy would have been we go write up our documentation, we put it in the library with everything else. Putting it into the wiki actually allows us, as I said before, better collaboration with all of you, actually even better collaboration amongst ourselves. I mean, people like Baleson and other people on the product team can now actually go and provide their samples, provide that out, as opposed to putting it off in their blogs and we start fragmenting everything. So we have base content out there now for both the Visio tool and the Visual Studio tool. We'll be adding more. I'll be getting samples in there. I showed a bunch of samples yesterday for doing some collaboration with Orchestrator, between OpsMan and Orchestrator, runbooks and management packs. Those samples will be moving into the TechNet gallery. We'll be documenting those over in the wiki as well. So I don't have it up there. I always try to have it on the slide, but my MP author Twitter feed, I know I checked the other day and a lot of new people following us on that, but it's a Twitter feed called MP author. And so any of the new content we put out as we're putting out the samples, we'll announce it on there. So basically that's going to be the best way to find out about that. And obviously always looking for feedback. I know it's pretty different for us to just start doing source documentation on a wiki. We absolutely have some process that we're going to start implementing to make sure that we maintain the integrity of the content while we're allowing other people to contribute. We'll make sure that we'll be constantly reviewing, making sure it's accurate, making sure that we have ways that you can be guaranteed that you know it's accurate. And so again, constantly looking for feedback on that. And so please obviously share that with us as we move forward. Question? Yeah. So the question is, are we going to make the content available for downloadable as opposed to all online? It's a common question that we get, a common request that we get. And so obviously, for all the standard OpsMan content, it's all available typically in Word for download. And so moving into the wiki, I realize that's one of our challenges. How do I give you the ability to pull that offline? Really, the answer I'm going to give right now, we absolutely know that requirement. We get it a lot. I'm talking with our people how we can do that. I want to figure that out. It is a bit of a challenge for us going over into the wiki, but there are some options that we're looking at for doing that. So yes. Right, so like the module reference authoring guide. Module reference we don't make available for download, do we? The authoring guide we do. Right. The new OM12 authoring guide, which is really more base, right? The R2 authoring guide is the full-blown, deep concept. That's available as part of the 2007 R2 content. The OM12 authoring guide, which is really targeted, really a missing piece that we had, the more kind of the person walking into OpsMan, understand the basics of managed packs and really goes to the Ops console. That is part of the OM12 content set. So that will be available for download. So the new authoring content for these types of tools and that we're looking at. The MSDN, like I said, I don't think we have the module reference downloadable, do we? I don't believe we do. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And which one, the module reference? Yeah. So I'll definitely take that feedback. And like I say, we've got our tools team on the documentation side that's definitely doing that. We're really trying to provide a balance between, hey, let's be dynamic, collaborative, accessible from anywhere, yet I know we get the request a lot. Can I just pull it down? And so hopefully there are some tools on the back end, too, that are going to be coming up that are going to help us a lot with that. So I think we're at the end. Any questions really for either of us? And otherwise, we will close. Oh, got the all
no.
The bells.
No, I was just going to say thank you so much for coming to our session early, first session Friday morning.
And get it.
There was a quick question of when you can get it. We were trying to get it released to this week. It's literally in the release pipeline with the release management team. And again, if you follow our MP author Twitter, feed, then you will get notification there. It should be in the next couple of days or so. Thank you, everyone. And we'll be around for a few more minutes for any questions.